Hallelujah. Hey, I'll figure it out one way or the other, right? We'll get closer to you. Hallelujah. Well, last week we were talking about walking by faith. I'm going to review just a little bit and then we'll move ahead. Walking by faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And in verse 6 it says this, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So the reason we want to talk about faith, we want to gain some understanding is, number one, says this, it says everything we receive from God, you're going to get it by faith. God doesn't get it because you're pitiful. God doesn't bless you because you're needy. If that was it, we wouldn't have a need in our life, would we? If God was moved solely by need, nobody would have one. Isn't that right? You're saying, oh, God don't care about my need. No, I didn't say that. We're talking about how do we receive. How do we receive from God? And see, here's the thing. A lot of people, and religious people, and especially people in the world that really don't know God, don't know God's ways, that's what they think. Well, if God wants to do something, He'll do it. God wants to heal me, He'll heal me. God wants to bless me, He'll bless me. Come on. But here's the thing. We got to understand God's ways, and we're going to get into that after we review a little bit, because the Bible says about Moses, as Moses knew his ways, the children of Israel only knew his acts. And you know, there's too many in the body of Christ, that's the way they are. They only know, and they're only concerned with the acts of God. Meet my need, God. Heal my body, God. Do this, do that. And then when somebody gets a miracle, they're all excited about it, but they're not really interested in finding out, how did that need get met? How did God do it? What's pleasing to God? Hello. All we're concerned about is, hey, God, I'm hurting. Make it all go away. Yeah. Isn't that right? But God wants to understand that it's a walk of faith that He wants us to walk out and that it pleases God. And last time we talked about, you know, how do we get faith? We talked about it from Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Remember we said rhema is the word spoken, God's word spoken to us. As we meditate in the Word, Proverbs 4, Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1 talked about how that we are to meditate in the Word of God day and night. We meditate, we mutter it, we ponder it, we read it, we look at it, we let it soak in. Amen? You let it soak, you know? You ever had a crusty old pan after you cooked and stuff got baked onto it? And you know, it's hard to wash that thing and get it cleaned up. But you know what? You run some water in that thing, let it soak for a day or so. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Why? Because there's a crust there and it takes time to what? Penetrate. How many of you know sometimes in our lives it takes time for the rhema to penetrate into our spirit. Isn't that right? And so he said, well, faith comes by the word. There's no other way. You can't get faith by praying for it. We're on a fast this week, some of us, but you don't get faith by fasting. Now, fasting can augment faith and all, but you don't get faith because you fasted, as wonderful as that is. You don't get faith because you prayed, as wonderful as that is. You don't get faith because you're a tither, as wonderful as that is. All those things are good, but that's not how faith comes. Faith only comes through one medium, and that is by the Word of God. And it is the rhema. Remember, we talked about that, the Word spoken to us. And we talked about it, and we looked over there in Genesis 12, where God spoke a word to Abram. And we talked about that is a rhema word that he got. Faith came. How was Abram able to leave his land, leave his family, and go to a place he'd never been before in a journey that he'd never gone on before? How was he able to do that? The only way the Bible tells us he was able to do that was by faith. In other words, he got a word from God. And remember, and I remind you of this, remember we said that there are some people like Lot who are getting the word, you know, they're just tag-alongs. They've got a second-hand word, okay? Well, God spoke to Uncle Abram and said, get out and go, so I think I'll tag along. But listen, when the tests and the trials and the problems of life face you, how many of you know when you get a word from God, guess what is going to follow that? Resistance, opposition, problems, tests, and trial. That word, because Jesus gave us a clear principle. He said that when the word is sown, immediately, what? Satan comes, what? For the word's sake. Not for your sake, for the word's sake. He wants the rhema. He wants the seed. Isn't that right? Because he knows if the seed is not left in place, if the seed, if he can steal the seed, he steals the crop. If he steals the promise, he's got the provision. Isn't that right? So we said we want to make sure we don't have a second-hand word. We want a first-hand relationship with God. We want to hear a word from God. And this week, as we've been in a time of prayer and fasting, you know, we should be expecting. And I'm telling you what, God's already been speaking to me. I hope he's been speaking to you. I hope you've had your ears on. God, of course, I should rephrase that. God's always speaking. It's a matter of whether or not we're listening, isn't it? So God's speaking, but I hope, you know, the one thing about a fast it helps us to sharpen our spiritual senses. Mm-hmm. As we're on a fast, you know, we unplug everything, you know, that old body, and we put it in its rightful place during that time, and our spirit can rise up more in ascendancy. We become more conscious of our spirit, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit can begin to speak to us. I hope you've been writing it down. Because, you know, if you're like me, God can speak something. If I don't write it down pretty quick, it can get away from me. Isn't that true? You ever been to a meeting, get a prophecy? And I mean, it really blesses you. But I mean, you know, an hour later, you remember the gist of it, but you don't remember it all, do you? Isn't that true? So we write it down. So we get a word from God, a rhema word. And see, that word brings faith. And that faith has an enabling power. It enables you to do something supernatural. It enables you to do something and to birth and to bring forth something that you could never do in your own strength and in your own wisdom. Amen. Amen? We talked about that. Faith is never conceived without the seed of God's word. Amen. It has to be there. Then we talked about that a walk of faith, the journey of faith. Remember that? Hebrews 11 and verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go out to a place where he would later receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he goes on, talks about the things that Abraham did. What faith has to grow. Amen? You get a word from God. You know, you're in the Bible, you're meditating in the scriptures, you're there in prayer, you're seeking God. The Holy Spirit quickens a word or a promise, or he speaks to your spirit. Faith comes, and immediately we know what's going to happen. This is why we need to understand the ways of the Spirit. See, the children of Israel, where they got in trouble is they didn't understand the ways. They thought God said, okay, I'm going to take you into the land of milk and honey. They thought, man, you know, I guess it's going to be like, you know, Star Trek or something. You know, they're just going to be transported over there. You know. They thought, or either they thought it was going to be like Dorothy and Oz. You know, it was just going to be the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road, you know. But, you know, problems arise. And when it was no different with Abram. He went there. And I mean, as soon as he got into the land that God sent him to, that promised land, the first thing he met, it was a famine. Wait a minute, that ain't right. This is the promised land. This is the land God told me about. This is the land where God said he's going to bless me. This is the land where God said he's going to multiply my seed. They're going to be greater than the stars in heaven and the sands, you know, in the desert. Wait a minute, this can't be right. I must have missed God. I thought I heard that, but I guess I didn't. See, if we don't understand the ways, the enemy will trip us up like that. You ever had that happen to you in your Christian walk? Isn't that true? But see, when we understand the ways, then still we have to go through it. But we understand what's happening. We understand what's happening. So faith has a growth process that has to happen. So here's the thing. We learned this. Starve your doubts and grow your faith. How you grow it? Feed it. Feed it. Feed it. Feed it. Wonder how many times Abram meditated on the word God gave him.
He says, you get out, leave your family and your land here. You go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to bless you in that land. Don't you know that in the time of famine is a good time to remember what God had said? Isn't it amazing as Christians, we get a word from God. We start out on the journey. The enemy comes, the test comes, the problems come, the obstacles come. And you know what we do? We get the old whine mode out. I don't know why this is happening to me. Come on. Listen, Moses had to face that as a leader. Moses understood the ways. They only understood the acts. Whenever you're trying to lead people and you understand the ways of God, but they only understand the acts of God, there's going to be a problem. Because all they're thinking about is the end result. Well, wait a minute. Pastor said. They said. I mean, look what you said, this and that and the others, God's going to do here at Grace and all that. And all of a sudden, hey. Wait, there's a bump in the road. There's an obstacle. There's a problem. There's resistance. Oh, that must not have been God. Come on. It's that way in our personal life. It's that way in a ministry. And so we have to learn to what? We starve our doubts and grow our faith. But it's unfortunate many times Christians get that in reverse. They meditate on their fears. They meditate on what the devil's saying. They meditate on other people who didn't get the word from the Lord. What if Abram had depended on Lot for advice? You know, it's amazing to me that the people who don't have a word from the Lord always want to tell the people who do have how it ought to be done. You ever notice that? And I'm, you know, most time they're well-meaning people, but they don't have a word from the Lord. They don't have a word. They got a word from up here. Isn't that true? It's happened to me. It's probably happened to you. So what do? We grow it. I'm just reviewing here, but, you know, a little water's gone under your bridge since last week. Okay. We grow it. And as simple as this is, listen, this is where the battles are won and lost. It is. It still is. Because if the enemy can come in and steal that word. And not only that, if he can't steal the word, he will try to postpone the word. He'll delay it in your life. Why? Because here's the thing. You start listening to him. You start, what, taking a step or two back. Then you decide, oh, wait, I'm going to listen to God. Then you start, I mean, going from here to that chair, if I did this and then did that, how far is it, that chair? Maybe 4 feet. How long would it take me to get there? That's what he tries to do to us. He tries to discourage you. He tries to get you into doubt. He tries to get you into worry and all that kind of thing. And you being the Christian you are, you grab yourself up again, you go. But here's the thing. What we've got to do is we've got to feed our faith to the point to where when he comes against us like that, we do just like Jesus. Isn't it interesting? It's an interesting parallel. How long were the children of Israel did it take them to go from Egypt to the promised land? How long did it take them? You ever thought about it? How long did it take Jesus to go through the same temptation? 40 days. Had you rather go 40 years or 40 days? Amen. What did Jesus say when the enemy tried to come against him? He spoke what? He spoke the word that he had. I mean, the devil came in him everywhere he tries to come at us, doesn't he? Yeah. If. Did the devil ever tell you if? Yeah. Boy, I tell you, when that thought starts off, if. Mm-hmm. Boy, you better. Yeah. Your alarm ought to go off. Something. However yours sounds. Something like, hey, wait a minute. Because if is the badge of doubt, isn't it? Yeah. God will never cause you to doubt. God's not going to speak a word to faith and then speak a word that's going to put doubt in there. Amen. The Bible says that God he is so full of truth and light and consistency. There is
absolute integrity in God. That means he's not going to say one thing and do another, and he's not going to say one thing and then say another. The Bible puts it this way. James puts it this way. When God is so full of light and integrity, when he turns, he doesn't cast a shadow. Just like the sun doesn't cast a shadow. Are you listening to me? It's nothing but light coming out. Isn't that right? And so we learn to walk through this. We learn the ways of God. We walk through this. We understand the process. And we talked about that in faith's trials. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read this. I know we're reviewing, but this is still good for us. Because I guarantee you, if you're not already in a battle, you're going to be. Amen? You're either in a battle, coming out of a battle, or getting ready to go into one. Sorry to disappoint you. But you know, I found out battles, you know, while we may never like the battle, love the battle, it's a whole lot easier when I'm prepared. It sure is easier to be a warrior than it is to be a target. Isn't that right? I mean, most Christians, they go through the battle, all they are is, they used to, years ago, when the battle tactics were different, you know, when they just amassed great armies, you know, and they'd come at each other, and they had the frontline troops go, they used to call them cannon fodder. That was the term they used for them. Cannon fodder. You know, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, they're cannon fodder. Because they have no weapons. They don't know how to fight. All they're doing is, you know, they're marching along, yes, but I'm telling you, bang, the enemy's just tearing them up. But that doesn't have to be us. Amen? 1 Peter 1, 7, he said, we'll back up to verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief or grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, everybody say, my faith.
My faith.
My faith. Oh, yeah. Your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Genuine. Amen. The enemy wants to do his best to disprove God, to make God look bad by how you respond. The test, the trial comes, you start whining. You start complaining. You start murmuring. You start doing all that kind of stuff. And the devil's just, you ain't got no genuine faith. Yeah, that faith, yep, that's just that old religious stuff. You're just a fair weather Christian. In other words, when everything's going great or you're in a great meeting or something and the corporate faith level's high and the spirit's there, you're shouting, you know. I remember a story Brother Hagin talked about, man, he said there was a guy in one of his churches, man. I mean, you know, they'd come to a meeting, you know, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday, and he'd just speak up, hey, sing my favorite song, you know. And it was something like, you know, something went something like this, you know, you got any mountains that need moving. You know, if you got any walls that need coming down, faith in God. I mean, man, and he'd just get up and shout and slobber and kick over a chair. And you know, and he had to give him some marriage counseling because this same old guy on the way home after all that, his wife said, you know, the kids need a new pair of shoes. And he went into a rage. Just flew up. My God, you think I'm made out of money? He just got singing about, you know, got any mountains. And he's all upset about a new pair of shoes. sound like us sometime, don't it? Don't have to say amen. So what do we got? We got to strengthen our faith. What do you do when the trial comes? Strengthen your faith. Get back into the Word of God. Get back to the promise of God. Go back to what God said to you. What has God said? And then again, what did he say? Think it not strange concerning what? The trial that comes against you. Knowing what? That these same trials and tests, temptations, what? They're happening to all your brothers and sisters. I know the enemy's never come and told you this old worn out thing, has he? Something wrong with you. Works for everybody else, but there's just something about you, buddy. Might be the way you part your hair, if you got any, I don't know. But, you know, isn't that what he tries to do? But what we have to understand is, hey, he's saying the same thing to everybody. He's trying the same old worn out stuff on everybody. And he will try to discourage you through circumstance. He'll come and try to whisper to you. He'll try to get other people to tell you that don't have the word you have. And listen, you know, again, I'm not getting on other people. You know, if they don't have a word, I don't expect them to have faith. We oughtn't expect them to have faith for that. But here's the thing. You ought to have enough understanding to say, hey, you know what? You know, they don't have, that God hadn't spoke that word to them like he spoke it to me. I understand that, you know, and just let it run off of you like water off a duck's back. Don't let it stick to you. Don't let that. Don't let somebody without a word from the Lord become an authority to you who have the word of the Lord.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. We're not talking about being unteachable or anything like that. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you start listening to them, they're going to get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Remember Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, man, he was right in there with Moses. He was right in there with them. Moses went up on the mountain, stayed gone a while. People said, hey, Aaron, build us a calf, golden calf. And have you ever heard such a story? When Moses came back, what Aaron said? Yeah, you remember what he said? It just that was, it was kind of like, sound like one of my kids, you know. I don't know how that happened. It just, the gold went in and this calf fell out. That's what he said. The calf, it just fell out. Oh, Lord. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? He was human just like us. But what happened? He listened to people, what? Who didn't have a word. And here's the thing. You've got to let what God's word be your authority. When the test and the trial come especially, encourage yourself in the Lord. Turn back over real quick to Hebrews 6. Notice what he says here in Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 13. He says this. He says, hold on. I thought that looked wrong. Turned too many pages there. Hebrews 6:13 says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I surely will bless you and give you many descendants. So after waiting patiently, everybody say that word. I know it's tough. That's a tough one to get out, isn't it? Patient. After waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. After he waited, what? Patiently. Patiently. In Romans 4, over there, it says, he what? He became fully persuaded. What was the need of patience? To get him to a place past the test, past the problems, past all that stuff, to where in the face of all of that, Abram could look it right in the face. He could look at his body. He could look at Sarah's body. He could look at all of that, and yet he was still fully persuaded. Boy, when you get fully persuaded, the provision is nigh. Amen? Fully persuaded. And like I said, you can go on the 40-year plan or you can go on the 40-day plan. Isn't that right? Hey, that's truth. Well, that's the principle. Isn't that what? I mean, the Israelites, they failed the test. Jesus passed the test. Isn't that true? Kind of interesting there, those 40s. I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of that, but it is interesting for thought, isn't it? Look in, you're right there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. We're still talking about faith trial. We're going to talk about faith fruit here in just a minute. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Listen to this. Says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will or the word of God, you will receive what he has promised. He said, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. And when the pressure comes, when the tests and trials, when all that comes, when the enemy comes, he puts pressure on you. What is he trying to get you to do? Throw away your confidence in God. I mean, how many times we read throughout the scriptures, in some form or another, the enemy comes with this thought and with this challenge, has God said? Or did God really mean what he said? Will God really do what he said? Can God really do what he said? That's where the challenge comes. And so in the face of that, we got to become fully persuaded. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think the trial is going to fully persuade you? The test and the trial, the problem, the obstacles. What the enemy's saying, is that going to fully persuade you about God? What's the only thing that's going to fully persuade you? God's Word. So when the test and the trial get on, what are we should focus on? The Word. What has God said? What has God said? I wonder how many nights Abram couldn't sleep because that old devil speaking to him. Look at you, how old you are. Look at Sarah, how old she is, boy. And how many nights he must have got up and went out there and started looking at the stars and remembering what God said. He told him, he says, Abram, look at the stars. Look at this. I wonder how many nights he went out there looking up at those stars. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the stars for you will be the promise, the word that God's given you. That will be your stars. And I'm telling you, when that enemy comes, you run to that word. You focus on that word. You meditate on that word. You speak that word out your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Because what? You're going to become fully persuaded. Let's talk about faith's fruit. The fruit of faith. Because faith does produce fruit in our life. And in Hebrews 11:6, we read the first part of that. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Or we could say it this way, God rewards faith. He does. If you want the provision of God, then it's going to come one way, by faith. And the fruit of faith, okay, is the ultimate proof of the genuineness of your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because everyone, you look in the scriptures, the time frame is there. I mean, you look at Moses, you look at Abram, you look at Joseph, you look at David, you look at any of the great men or women of the Bible. There's a time in there where that process is working like we've been talking about and everything. But at some point in time, what? They got the fruit. They got the provision. The promise became theirs. Amen? And that's what we want to see. Now, besides that, though, I want to talk about another kind of fruit. We understand that the fruit is, okay, is the answer to my prayer. It is the provision God has promised. It is all that God has said to us. Our faith brings that into fruition, brings that into our life. But there's something I think that is even more important and deeper yet than that. Turn over to Hebrews 4. That is faith's fruit. And that is what I want to look at tonight when we talk about faith's fruit. Because, you know, obviously the answer, that's obvious. That's what God wants to bring into your life. He wants to bring the provision. He wants to bring the answer. He wants to bring the breakthrough, whatever it is. Healing, deliverance, financial provision, whatever it might be. But there's something that's even, I believe, more important, more deep than that. And actually, let's go back to chapter 3 first of Hebrews. I said 4, but let's go back to 3 first. Because there's something that he talks about here in relation to faith that is the fruit of faith. And we might say, I might put it this way, it is the first fruits of faith. The provision, the answer that you're believing God for, that is a fruit. But what we're going to look at tonight and talk about is what I would call even the first fruits of faith. Even before that comes, there is another fruit that comes. The first fruits of faith. Now notice here in chapter 3, let's begin in verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on my oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, let's go down to verse 16 for the sake of time. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those who Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? Now get this. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Now, what is the first fruits of faith? It is this: rest. Rest and peace are the first fruits of faith. Amen? When faith is there, when you have faith, when it is, you are fully persuaded, you enter into a state of peace and rest. Are you listening to me? That's the first fruits. What was their problem all along? They were constantly, the children of Israel were constantly in a state of unrest because they remained in a place of unbelief. He said for 40 years they saw everything. I mean, they saw all the mighty miracles in Egypt to deliver them. They crossed the Red Sea, dry land, a wall of sea, water over either side, dry land. They still didn't get it. Water came out of a rock. Manna came down every day. A supernatural cloud shattered them to keep them cool. God's air conditioning out there. And then they had the column of fire by night, kept them warm and illuminated everything. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle for 40 years. This is why I said, now, this will get you. You'll have to think about this a bit. Seeing a miracle will not produce faith. Because if it did, they'd have had it. You'd think anybody that walked, if I ever walked through any, if God just parted a creek and I walked through it, I'd be amazed, let alone a sea. Isn't that true? I mean, we think sometimes, if I saw an angel, listen, they saw all kind of things. But here's the thing. He says, notice what he says here. Here was the crux of the matter. He said, their hearts are always going astray because what? They have not known my ways. In other words, he said, after all this time and all these miracles, you still don't know me. You still don't know me. You don't know that I love you. You don't know that I care for you. You don't know that I'm faithful. You don't know that I'll do what I said I'll do. After all this time, you still don't have any rest. You're still all uptight about the most mundane, ordinary, everyday things. What are we going to eat? And what are we going to do? Doesn't sound familiar, does it? Listen. Without faith, our hearts will go astray. I don't mean some gross sin, like you're going to lie and cheat and steal and do all that. I mean, obviously. But listen, things that we don't ordinarily think of as sins. Fear. I'm talking about when these things abide, everybody gets attacked by them. I'm talking about when you live this way. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody follow me?
You live in fear. You live with worry. You live with discouragement. You're constantly complaining and murmuring and griping and questioning God. That's the way you live your life. Listen, your heart has gone astray. And God said this, you'll never have any peace or rest in your life. I've seen Christians that's so tormented in their minds, in their lives. I mean, born again, good people, wonderful people. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what I observe and what the Word of God teaches. You probably know some like that too. But I mean, fear just rules their life. Or you get around them and I mean, they just gripe and everybody's doing them wrong and this one done them wrong and no. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What's happened? Their hearts have gone astray. They don't have faith. Their faith is not connected. That somehow their faith has got disconnected from God on a daily basis. They're not trusting in God. They're not connected to God in a vital way where they have complete confidence. God's going to take care of me. Doesn't matter what's going on. Don't matter what the economy's doing. Remember Jesus said in the last days, he said, men's hearts will fail them for fear. It's unfortunate. That defines a lot of Christians, a lot of born again Christians. They're living their life in torment. They're living their life under fear and discouragement. The circumstances of life, they're not being led by the Spirit. The circumstance, they're living as though they weren't saved. Even though they are saved, they're living as though they weren't. It's the same thing that happened. And this is a surefire recipe for going on the 40-year plan. How was that generation, that 40-year generation, how were they finally, ultimately delivered? Death. They finally got victory. The day they died. How many Christians do we know that is their view of life now? I'm just going to hang on. I'm just going to do the best I can. Something happens in the world, they're just as tormented as the one that's not saved. They're just as fearful. They live in it, and it's sad. It's tragic. Because what they're on, some of those people, bless their heart, the first victory they're going to know is when what? Their body lays down and their spirit goes to be with the Lord. That's the first peace they're going to know. That's the first joy they're going to know. That's the first victory they're going to know. That's the first real sense of God's presence they're going to know. What a tragedy. Isn't that right? God had the provision all set up for them. But he said, you're never going to enter. So the first fruits of faith is what? When we know we're in faith, what? There's peace. Again, I didn't say fear wouldn't try to come on you, because it will. I didn't say discouragement wouldn't try to come on you, because it will. I didn't say worry wouldn't try to attach itself with you, because honey, it will. But here's the thing. The Bible says we're to fight the good fight of what? Fight the good fight of faith. But there comes, see, if we will do that, he says it's a good fight. Why? Because if we will do that, we'll come to a place like Abraham was, where he was fully persuaded, where we enter into the peace and the rest. Why? Because as we go through this process of faith, as we understand better the character of God, the ways of God, then even in the midst of the storm, this is why Jesus could sleep in the storm and the disciples were running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. What are we going to do? We're all going to die. And I'm not making fun of them, because we've all been there in our boat. Haven't we? You've been on your boat in a storm, felt that way. But Jesus is asleep. They have to go back and wake him up. Boy, that's some peace. That is some peace, brother. So the first fruit of faith is what? This is the first fruit, and we could put it this way, the first victory of faith. It brings peace to your heart. Why? Because I know this about God. I know that God is with me. I know that God cares. I know that God is faithful. I know that God's word, if He said it, He will do it. I know that God will bring me through. He'll bring me out. It doesn't matter if it's the lion's den or the fiery furnace. Bless God, He's going to bring me through. When you do that, remember Daniel? Remember the king? I mean, the king couldn't sleep all night. It was Daniel that was in there with the lions. He fell asleep and the king was up all night. Come on. Listen, you got some peace when you can sleep in the lion's den. Isn't that right? That's the first victory, the first fruits of faith are what? Peace. Let's talk about this a little bit more. I piqued your curiosity here. Psalm 81. Let's turn over there. I got 5 more minutes. So I still got some time. Psalm 81. I mean, you know, don't misunderstand. It's great. You know, it's great to receive the provision. But you know what? From the promise to the provision is this part we're talking about right here. And isn't that usually? Is that where that's where I have my problems. Is that where you? Is that usually where the hiccup comes with you? Me too. Psalm 81. Listen to this. Verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. We're talking about learning God's ways. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit. Oh boy. You know where peace comes? When you submit to God. You submit to His word. God will never leave you or forsake you. He said, so I gave them over, because they would not submit, I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. What were their devices? Murmuring and whining and complaining. Griping. We don't like Moses. We don't like Aaron. We don't like the food. We don't like where we're at. I don't like what I'm wearing. Come on. We had it better in Egypt. I've actually heard some Christians say that. I had it better when I was lost, Pastor. But, you know, I was sweet to them because I knew, that, Lord, they know not what they say. But here's the thing. He said, I'm going to turn you over to your own ways. If we don't submit to the faith of God, if we don't walk in this faith, if we don't let this process work in us where we come to know God's ways, where we enter into His peace and rest, He said, what's going to happen is, He says, I'm going to turn you over to your own ways. If my people, listen, would but listen to me. Oh, man. If Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies? See, God didn't have a 40-year plan in mind for them. They turned it into a 40-year plan. How quickly I would have subdued your enemies and turned my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before Him and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock I would satisfy you. The ways of God. See, He said, you need to understand as you're going through this process, the character of God, the nature of God, the ways of God. Yes, I'm going through a process right now. Yes, all kinds of things may be coming at me right now. But I've got a word from God. I've got the promise of God. He is with me. He is for me. He is in me. He's gone ahead of me. And I will declare that He is my God. In the midst of it, I'm going to be like Daniel. Bless God. I don't care if the lions are roaring. Let the devil roar all he wanted to. Bless God. The roar of a lion never hurt anybody. And I got news for you. Jesus pulled His teeth at Calvary. Amen. 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 He's been defanged. And all He's got is a roar. And He tries to roar at us. And get us to what? To forget God's ways and God's word. Turn over to Psalm 103. You getting anything out of this? Listen, what are some of the ways? Listen, God wants us to what? To understand what? His unconditional love for us. Boy, I'm telling you what, if you get that down in your spirit, I mean get it down deep in your spirit. What Paul said in Romans 8, nothing, everybody say nothing. What all would nothing encompass? Everything, wouldn't it? He said, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not tests, not trials, not time, huh? Not your own mistakes, your own shortcomings, your own failings. Nothing will separate. That means what? When a test or trial comes, what is it trying to do? Separate you. Separate you from the love of God. Make you forget the ways of God. God's way is what? Unconditional love. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate. The enemy comes in. You see this happening to you? Yeah, God's not with you. You didn't hear from God. God's not going to do this. God's not with you. If he was with you, why has all this happened to you? Amen. And he's the one that's behind it all. But he's a liar. Listen, Psalm 103:7, real quickly. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Listen, his ways. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Whew. You meditate on that when you're going through a difficult time. Because I can guarantee you, the circumstance and the enemy will not tell you that. Oh, you must have done something wrong. Oh, you must have really missed it. Oh, you must have really been. Listen, the Lord is compassionate. How many of you want to do the right thing? That's exactly what I thought. Well, you think the Lord don't know that? Slow to anger. Oh, I know. This happened to me. God must be mad at me. You know? Some people, you know, bless their heart, they got this idea, you know, God's like a judge in robes. And he's just waiting to slam the gavel down on you. I told people a long time ago, listen, if God was out to get you, honey, he's had a lot of opportunities. You'd already been God. Isn't that right? If God was out to knock us in the head, we'd all be brainless by now. Isn't that right? Because you haven't done everything right and neither have I. Listen. He will not always accuse. God's not the accuser. Who does it say is the accuser of the brethren? That's the devil, isn't it? God's not mad at you. He's love. In other words, and out of love, doesn't the Bible teach us faith operates by? Faith operates by. What causes faith to work? Love. Our understanding this very thing, that God is compassionate. He is, his loving kindness, his grace is toward me. His mercy is toward me. You remember this story probably I told you about Brother Osteen and his kids, you know, when they were little, you know. I'll close with this. You know, back years ago when John Osteen, most of you know, started Lakewood Church. You know, when his son Joel and the other kids there were real, you know, real little, and put them to bed and pray over them everything. And, you know, he said that day, he said, you know, the way the house was all on one floor and just had, you know, kind of a long hallway, you know, and their bedrooms at the end of the hall and the kids were up here, you know how it is. So he'd put them to bed, you know, and and one of his sons, I forget which one, I don't know if it was Joel or not, but one of them, he was going through something or something, you know, with the night and all that kind of thing or whatever. But he said he'd be laying in bed, Brother Osteen, he said he'd be laying in bed, and his son would, you know, with the door, you know, doors were open in the rooms, he'd call out in the dark to him. He'd say, Daddy, Daddy, is your face toward me? And he'd call back, and he said, yes, son, my face is toward you. And you know what? That's what our Father says. You know, you're in the dark. You're going through it. It looks like, man, I must have blew it royally. I must have missed it big time. That's the time you need to remember. Daddy says, my face is toward you. Amen. Amen. So the first fruits of faith are what? Rest and peace. And how we enter in that? God's word, but also understanding in the process what? God's ways. Don't forget, we got to hold on to God's word, but we also got to remember God's ways. You know, I've often wondered, how did Moses, how did he deal with 1.5 to 3 million hard-headed Jews? I'm telling you, I think all that generation is going to have to help carry his crown or something. I mean, they ought to at least have to do that, seemed like to me. But I wonder, you know, and I think part of that was he understood the heart of God. He understood the heart of God. And in that, somehow, that heart of God, in a measure, came to him and gave him the grace to deal with that. And I believe as we're going through the process, when the pressure's on, when it seems like it's nighttime, when everything, we got the Word of God. But I think this, if we can understand better the heart of God, that somehow a measure of that will come to us. And we will be able to have peace in the midst of it. Amen. And you know, the thing about a test and trial, whether we like it or not, two things. Number one, they're going to come. Number two, you're going to have to go through it. You can go through kicking and screaming like the 40-year plan, or you can go through with peace and rest on the Jesus plan. It's up to us, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. Ushers, will you come? We're going to give you an opportunity, anybody that would like to give tonight. And then we're going to dismiss you. Did this help you tonight? Hope it did. Encourage you. Maybe get some insight, some fresh insight. Hallelujah. You know, I know this is just meat and taters, but you know, this is where we live, isn't it? Because like I said, you're either in a test, you've just come out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. Has that been your experience? Amen. The only way, listen. The only time you're going to get through with tests and trials is when you go to be with the Lord. Then you'll be through. That'll be a great day, won't it? Amen. Hallelujah. But until then, I want to be on the Jesus plan. I want them to come and go the way they're meant to. I don't want to prolong them. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we appreciate your giving. Hallelujah. I'll give you just a minute there, those who are giving. Got an envelope. You ready? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, Lord, those who are giving tonight. Thank you, Father, for their obedience. We receive this offering, Lord. We offer it up to you. We bless the giver, Father, those that are giving. And we thank you for your promise that as we give, it's going to be given back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over in Jesus' name. Come on, guys. Give them a chance to give here, and we're going to let you go. Hallelujah. How's it going with you? Those of you that are fasting with us this week, how's it going? Is it going good? You having a good week? Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, God's been talking to me. I'm writing stuff down. Man, I'm telling you, it's good. Don't get me wrong. God's not just telling me how wonderful I am. But it's good for me. Let me put it that way. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. I'm glad God loves me enough that he will tell me like it is. Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen.
What did Jesus say? Beware when everybody tells you what you want to hear. How wonderful you are. Don't misunderstand me. We need to encourage one another, don't we? Praise the Lord. Okay, come on, guys. Have we given? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.